You're listening to the Hill City Teaching Podcast, a recording of the Sunday morning service at Hill City Church. We would love to have you join us in person. More information can be found at www.hillcity.church.
Good morning. We come up to our last week of Please, Sorry, Thanks series. We start a new series next week in 2 Corinthians. So we look at what it means to be a new creation as we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. So we'll be working through that all the way up to Easter. And Easter's only like 6 weeks away or something like that. We'll have another baby in our midst by then. That's crazy. But we're finishing up this series. And three words that have the ability to completely transform your perspective on life, transform how you interact with people, transform the community and the relationship around you. The first week we talked about humility. Last week we talked about forgiveness. And this week we're looking at the word thanks or gratitude. What does gratitude do for us? If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in John chapter 6 today. If you don't have your Bibles, the verses will be on the screen because we're that nice of people. John chapter 6, starting in verse 1, just so you know, this is Jesus feeding the 5,000. This is that story. This is the 5,000 before the next 5,000. But John chapter 6, verse 1 says this: sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the shore, crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs that he had performed by healing the sick. I wrote this down last week, not this verse, but this statement I'm about to tell you. I think it was during worship. I don't remember, but it kind of just hit me. And it was one of those moments that, like, I felt like I've heard it before, but I need to write it down. So I just left worship and found my notebook and wrote it down in my notebook. And then I left my notebook at home today. But I'm going to remember it from memory. But it's this idea of, like, we follow Jesus because what we can get from Jesus, right? Here's this crowd of people. They're following Jesus because he performed the miracles, because he healed the people. He did these things that they want to know more about it and most likely want to experience it themselves. And I just had this thought as we were writing this, and this statement kind of came back to mind, is just this idea that there's so often for many of us that we do the good things of Christianity. We do the things that Christians are supposed to do, right, for what we get out of it, rather than doing the things that Jesus asks us to do for no other reason than we love him. Right? And that's really been a theme through this series. It's been a theme through the first series that we did, is this idea of abiding in Jesus, falling in love with Jesus. And I think so often we get stuck in this cycle of, this is what good Christians do. I have to do. And if I do all these things, I'm going to get all these things in return. Don't get me wrong. Jesus does promise things in return. But if that's the goal, if that's the end, you're getting breadcrumbs. You're not getting the fullness of what God wants for you because you haven't learned to fall in love with him yet. And falling in love with him always comes back to spending time with Jesus over and over again. We're going to repeat this for the year of 2024 until we figure it out. Spending time with Jesus. You want the one thing that's going to completely transform your life, your year, your character, your ability to see past the circumstance of your life. It's time with Jesus. Being grateful of that time, being grateful for who he is. Let's keep going in verse 3. Then Jesus went up to the mountainside and he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up, he saw the great crowd coming towards him. He said, "Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" Excuse me. He asked, he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one of these people to have a bite." Another disciple, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Not sure how far they'll go." Verse 10, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in the place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then looked at the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. Anyone else find that really interesting? He gave thanks. Like, here he is performing the miracle. This is God, remember? If there's anyone in the world that deserves to see the miracles happen, it's Jesus. His obedience was perfection. He went to the cross and died a sinner's death as Jesus commanded. Like, if there's anyone that should be able to see the miracle, it should be Jesus, but he gave thanks. Now, I think we think about verses like this where we see things like giving thanks. Well, that's just what you're supposed to do. You thank God for your food before you eat it. I would argue, are you actually talking to God when you're praying that? That's why I don't pray before meals. I don't want it to become ordinary. But here's the creator of the universe, the one that spoke the world into existence, giving thanks. Thank you, God, for what you're about to do. Father, thank you that you didn't have to do this. You didn't have to perform this miracle. You didn't have to show up in this way for these people. These people could have been a little bit hungry and got home, but you're going to do this. So thanks. And I think there's a big piece in this that we can learn from. This heart of gratitude. I think oftentimes for many of us, it's not a heart of gratitude that we take on. Most of the time, it's a heart of entitlement. God, I deserve this. Look at what I've done for you, God. Look at all the ways, God, that I showed up for you. I deserve this. Give this to me. And if you don't, God, I'm going to be pissed and angry. And I'm going to hold it against you. Right? Those are probably all feelings we all relate to. We've all done it. I've done it. You go through my journals, you'll read it over and over again. Angry Josh at a very good God. And he can take it. He understands my sin. It's not the point. But oftentimes we come from that place of entitlement. God, give me this job. I deserve it. And maybe we don't say it as aggressively or in that way, but like, let's be honest. That's what we're doing. Or God, here's the circumstance that show up in life that I wasn't prepared for. Now you better show up and fix it. Here's the reality. God saved you. He called your name. He let you fully understand what the gospel means so you could find salvation. That he died and rose again for you. If he does nothing else for you in this life, that's enough for you to dedicate the rest of your life to serving him. If he does nothing else for you, that's enough. That's enough for you to completely transform your life and chase after whatever he has for you. Because he died for you. He restored relationship back to the creator of this universe for you. But I think all too often we get so focused on what's right in front of us and what's important to us, and we miss the perspective and the shift that we need to make. We'll unpack that a little more in here in just a second. There's a story about Jesus healing 10 leopards. Leopard is a skin disease, essentially just deteriorates off your body. Highly contagious. Most leopards got sent out into the wilderness to live in leopard camps to make sure they affect anyone else. Sorry, I said leopard, whatever. They turn into leopards, like the animal, and they prowl on things, I don't know. But there was 10 of them, and Jesus healed them all. And on that day, 10 of them were healed from their physical illness. But only one of them was healed for their ingratitude. Only one came back and thanked Jesus for what he did. Only one came back in awe of the way in which Jesus worked, because he realized he didn't deserve it. That Jesus didn't have to do it for him, but he did. So his gratitude was through the roof, and he thanked Jesus for it. There's something about entering the kingdom of God, being one of God's people, that gratitude should be at the forefront of everything that we do. One, because he's that incredible. Two, because he's already done so much for us, and yet he continues to do things for us. Psalms 100 says this, I'll just read it to you. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And if that's true of us, what should be our response? Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through the generations. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful for what God has done and what God is going to continue to do. Don't expect it. Doesn't mean not to ask for it. But when he does it, our response should be thankfulness and gratitude. And the reality is, if we were honest with ourselves and looked back at all the ways God has already shown up, we'd be floored. Now, it's hard if you're sitting this moment in the midst of struggle. Right? You have a mountain in front of you, you're frustrated, you're angry, and you're stuck in this place. Really difficult to look back when you're stuck in this place and the only thing that's ahead of you. But gratitude changes things. Gratitude changes things so much that the world has noticed. This is why gratitude journals have become so popular with non-believers, is they realize the power of gratitude. The thing that completely changes my perspective. But all things come from God. All good and blessings come from above. Whether you know him or you don't know him, he chooses to bless as he sees fit. Are we thankful? Are we grateful? Do we watch and see God and thank God as he works? One thing I've learned over the last year is the more I fall in love with Jesus, the more grateful I am, not just for what he does, but the more grateful I am for who he is. Like he's the creator of the universe. He spoke galaxies into existence. Right now, we haven't been to the edge of the universe. We have rovers flying out in space. It takes like, I don't know what it is. I think it's like 15 million years or something crazy, or billion years to get to the edge. And we're not there yet. He spoke that into existence. He didn't have to work at it. He didn't have to get sweaty doing it. He just said, happen, and it happened. Go outside tonight and look up into the stars and see all these areas, how big and vast God is. He's bigger than all of this. He created it. And yet he wants to know you. In your smallness, in your insignificance, in all reality, in the timeline of humanity, you don't matter. But you matter to him. You matter to him so much that he went to the cross for you. So that the penalty of sin could be paid, so you could be restored back to the Father. That he would know you. If you go through these journals, these are my journals for the last, I don't know, year and a half. I think August of 2022, I started with these Bibles. And if you go way back to August of 2022, which I've been kind of reading through these over the last few weeks, you're going to find some really silly, stupid prayers. And over time, you're going to find things where I'm just angry at God about, frustrated and entitled. But what you'll find is there's a pattern. The more time I spent with Jesus, the more I fell in love with Jesus. The more I fell in love with Jesus, the more I became grateful for who he is. You get towards the end of these journals and you start to see a change. A change I didn't notice in the moment. A change I didn't notice as I read and tried to spend time with Jesus each day. But looking back, I'm now able to see that change. A few years ago, I was fasting and I had when I was fasting for two things. I wanted to love God like Francis Chan. I know this is silly, but there wasn't anyone that had a better example. I'd be like, that guy loves Jesus. When everyone talks about him, he loves Jesus. Francis Chan's a preacher, by the way. And I wanted to love people like Bob Goff. Bob Goff has wrote a book called Love Does, well known for loving people well. I think I actually told a story about Bob last week. And just a few weeks ago, the end of January, I was finishing up the book of Matthew. It hit me. God, I don't know what you've done over the last year and a half. But man, do I love you. You answered my prayer. Wasn't in the moment. It took work. It took God cutting out parts of my character and parts of the things that weren't of him, the things getting away of being able to love him well, my entitlement, my ungratefulness. But man, do I love him. He's incredible. You read through the Gospels and the ways that he interacts with people is mind-boggling. How smart he is. Sure, he's Jesus, but my goodness. If you recognize the size that you actually are, the insignificant person you actually are, if I put myself in the proper place of how insignificant and how much I don't matter, but yet he pursues me anyways. What kind of God does that? He didn't have to. He could have been any kind of God he wanted to be, but he chose to be a God that knows his creation and lets his creation know him. Full of compassion, full of generosity. Even when we're faithless, even when we spit in his face and say, I want to do it my way, he's still faithful. He still pursues. What an incredible God we get to know and get to serve. Just to get to know him is enough. And yet he continues to provide and continues to guide and continues to give us wisdom when he doesn't have to. But I think oftentimes we get in this place of entitlement. We get in this place of ingratitude. We say, God, all those things you've done for me right now, those don't matter because you haven't done this. This is all that matters right now. And even in the midst of that, he hears you. And he's working all things for your good. He might not answer that prayer as you want it answered. But what he is going to do is he's going to answer that prayer what's best for you because he is a good God. And even if the mountains seem too steep and too big in front of you, he's still a God full of power. He's still a God that is great and that is beyond. That whatever insignificant, stupid thing that we're worrying and being anxious about is so small when it comes to the vastness of who God is. We should be grateful for that. We should be grateful that when we pray, he hears our prayers. We should be grateful not only does he hear our prayers, he works things out for our good. What a good, good God we serve. I have no idea where we are in this sermon. Let's keep going. Verse 11 again. Then Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks, he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. This is that God. Not enough that everyone feels a little bit full. Not enough so everyone gets a bite. As much as they wanted, he poured out the blessing. Golly, God, you're absolutely incredible. He did the same with the fish. And when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over and those who had not been eaten. Verse 14, and after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to make him to come and make him king by force, withdrew to the mountain to be by himself. It all started with a thankful heart. We should follow Jesus's example. And I started to think as I was pondering this verse and and praying through it. And I can't say that this is theologically correct, but maybe there's something to it. What if what made that miracle possible was Jesus' thankful heart? What if what made that miracle possible was a posture to be able to understand how big and great his Father is? Is grateful for all that he's done up to this point. They didn't live a life of scarcity, of all the ways God hasn't shown up, or all the resources I don't have. But he lived with great faith and trust of his Father. And he just said, watch what my God can do. Maybe if that's why we don't see miracles today. Maybe that's why we don't see the 5,000 fed, the mountains moved. I was having a conversation with a friend a few weeks ago, and we were talking about that verse of, you know, if you have faith as little as a mustard seed, so you could tell this mountain to move from here to there, and that mountain would move. And then it dawned on me. If the mountains aren't moving, is that a me problem or a God problem? And I know the sermon is always, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it's really tiny. It's not a lot of faith. But the mountains aren't moving. And if the mountains aren't moving, that means I don't have enough faith. I don't even have faith as small as a mustard seed. Faith is simply this. Do you trust God is good? Do you trust that God is powerful? Do you trust that God can? Do you trust that God is generous and he wants to intervene? Most of us don't. Most of us don't even have faith of a mustard seed. Because it doesn't fit my narrative. It doesn't fit my perspective. It doesn't fit the world that I've created. And if I can't take care of it, then it can't happen. But that's not faith. Faith is taking risks and believing big things. Faith is not only taking on a posture of gratitude, but taking on the posture of faith and trust. As I fall more in love with him, I'm able to look back and say, God, you are incredible and you can and you will because you love me. This last week, I felt like God prompted me to finally open up a bank account for Project El Piso because I've been dragging my feet on it. Because I knew Jesus wanted my money. And for me, you know, that thing that you're most anxious about usually is a pretty good sign that that's the one thing you don't trust God in. I like seeing the commas in my bank account. It makes me feel safe. I like to see zeros. It makes me feel comfortable. And God said, give it to him. And I said, are you sure? And he said, didn't I not give it to you? Do you don't think I got you? You think this is all that I had? You think you're not going to get the next miracle? You don't think you're going to get the next provision? Come on. I was like, okay, that's enough. I can do it. And I cut the check. Well, I didn't cut a check. I just gave her my debit card and she transferred the money. But same idea. And then I looked at my bank account today. The money I gave is back. Not that money, but different money. I didn't even know that money was coming. Not that God is always going to bless in that way, but I think it was just that little wink. I'm like, I've got you. Trust me. But we can't get to that place if we're always looking for what's wrong. We can't get to that place of gratitude to be able to say, thank God, look what he can do. If we're always looking for what's wrong, because here's the reality. If you go looking for what's wrong, you'll find it. That's the reality. You can always find things to complain about. It's the life that we live. It's the fallen world that's all around us. There's always things to complain about. And here's what happened. We get stuck in those places. It's the human condition. We're not the first ones to do it. The Israelites did it. God saves Israel from the Egyptians that they were under 400 years of slavery. They were not free. They were treated horribly. God opened a sea. He parted the ground so they could walk on dry. He created a sidewalk for them. And he led them into the wilderness. And then they got hungry. So what did he do? He provided the stinking miracle of manna falling from the sky so they could be sustained. And then a little time goes by, and what's Israel's response? I don't like this manna anymore. I want to go back to Egypt where I had meat and chicken and fruit and all these other things. And God's like, are you kidding me? It was the miracle. How often do we play this same game? God provides, but right now it's not how I want it. So, God, where are you? They saw the miracle. They saw bigger miracles than we've ever seen. And they forgot it. They forgot their source. Don't let us be people that find ourselves in ingratitude. Don't let us be people that are constantly focusing on things we don't have. Let's focus on the things that God has already done to remind us of how good He is, how great He is, how generous He is, and how glorious He is. Because if I have Him on my side, nothing can stop me. If I have Him on my side, I'm always taken care of. Take those steps of faith. Watch what He can do. If you go looking for the complaining, you'll find it. But be people that are constantly looking back to who God and what God has done. I'll leave you with these two things. They don't fit right here because I was supposed to talk about them earlier, but here's your 2 points for today. Your focus determines your reality. If you're focused on what's on wrong, you're going to say everything is wrong. If you focus on what God has done, you're going to be grateful and excited to see what He's going to do next. Not because He has to, but because He's generous and He loves you. And the last point's this. It's all from God and it's all for God. Whatever you have already came from God Himself. Josh, no, it didn't. It came from my paycheck. Cool. Who gave you that job? Well, I was smart enough to get that job. Awesome. Who made you smart enough so you could be smart enough to have that job? We can play this game all day. God, where all blessing comes. We can play the game and lie to ourselves that we provided. Or we can know the truth that God is our provider. And all we have is His anyways. So let's use it in ways that test our faith. Let's use it in ways that will make a difference in the small time we have here on earth. Let's use it in ways where we can see the miracles again. Because we walk with a thankful heart. Three words have the ability to transform your perspective and your life. Please. Sorry, I forgot the first word. Please. A posture of humility. I can't do this alone. I need help. I need help from my God and I need help from my community. Sorry, I'm going to hurt you and you're going to hurt me. Are we going to take on a posture of forgiveness? When we wrong somebody, we're going to ask for forgiveness. When they wronged us, are we going to give forgiveness? Or are we going to let unforgiveness rule our day? You'll get stuck. And finally, thankfulness. Are we going to be thankful for what God has already done? Or are we going to pay attention to all things that God hasn't done yet? Bitterness will set in. You will get stuck. You will not experience the fullness that God has for you in this life. What's the solution? Spend more time with Jesus. You will fall in love with Him. There's nobody like Him. There's nothing like Him. He is beyond it all. The dude is absolutely incredible. And I am convinced with every part of my being, the more time you spend with Him, the more you're going to realize it. The more you're going to fall in love with Him. The more you're going to have greater faith and greater trust. The more you're going to choose humility. The more you're going to choose forgiveness, the more you're going to choose thankfulness. Let me pray for you. Father God, more than anything, we thank You for who You are. God, in all the ways that You've shown up, God, in all the ways of just who You are in terms of Your greatness and Your power and the glory that You sit on Your throne, and God, the vastness of who You are, and yet You take the time to know me. You take the time to have conversation with me. God, it's incredible. God, that you have a plan, not just for the world and this time, but you have a plan for my life. God, that there's work that you want to do in me and through me, not because you have to, because you want to. God, there is no greater Father that anyone could know than you. There's no greater friend, no greater helper that we could ever know than you, Spirit. And there's no better sacrifice, no better source of truth and wisdom than you, Jesus. God, change our hearts. God, make us humble people. Make us forgiving people. God, and make us thankful people. That next challenge, that next fork in the road, that next wall or mountain, God, that we don't look at it and say, my life is over. We look at it with anticipation, ready to say thanks for what you're going to do. We step back and say, watch what my God can do. We love you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Hill City Teaching Podcast. We hope it was helpful to you to become a more devoted disciple of Jesus. More information can be found at www.hillcity.church.